Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida.
Y'all look inwardly and ask yourself, do I strive hard to advance my church in knowledge? It's a promise and a pledge that's made, and again, this is because it's what Scripture commands us to do. Do I strive to advance myself in the knowledge of the Word of the Lord? The term strive, boy, it's a good term, a good word. It means to work hard, to labor strenuously and earnestly. In this context, do we work hard and labor earnestly and strenuously to learn more and more about the Word of God? Church members should seek, strive, or work hard to increase in the knowledge of the Lord. 2 Peter 3:18 tells us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. When one grows in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he can then serve better. The Berean church was commended. It was complimented because her people searched the Scriptures daily. We read in Acts 17:11. Paul commended the Ephesian brethren to a study of the Word of God, the Word of His grace that would build them up in Acts 20:31. Zeal, that passion to serve the Lord, without a proper measure of knowledge will be the result. It will cause many errors. Be very careful. That desire, that zeal to serve the Lord, but lacking the knowledge will result in some errors. Priscilla and Aquila were commended because they brought alongside an individual by the name of Apollos. And he had great zeal, but he lacked in some knowledge. And they taught him and helped build him up. And he became an influential factor in the early church. How about a fellow by the name of Peter? Peter cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest. He had a lot of zeal, a lot of passion, but he didn't understand what the will of God was, and the result was great error. And we could pick on Peter for the rest of the illustration, just time after time, that he wanted to mean well, but he lacked knowledge. We go on and on, but we're exhorted, we're encouraged. Paul admonished Timothy to study, in order that he would show himself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Which means if there's a way to rightly divide the word of truth, there is by necessity, you can wrongly divide the word of truth. We must grow in our knowledge. We must mature as believers. And we make a pledge to do so. In addition to winning people to Christ's salvation, in addition to baptizing such as have been saved, the Lord's church is to teach them all things whatsoever He has commanded them, that people, for the purpose that they may increase in knowledge to the edifying of the body of Christ. And we find that pattern and example throughout the New Testament. So we've made a promise to strive in knowledge for the church. And not only that, but how about the next one? In holiness for the church covenant. We find that in knowledge, holiness. Every member of one of the Lord's churches vows to strive or work hard for the advancement of his church, not only in knowledge, but also in holiness. And the term holiness means to be set apart from the profane to the sacred. A church as a whole can advance in sacred things only to the extent that her members advance or mature in sacred things. The Scriptures admonish men to live separated and holy lives unto the Lord. We make a pledge to do that, being a member of the body of Christ. Boy, there's so many verses here. You could reference 1 Peter 1:15 and 16. Ephesians 1:4 declares that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. A principle to remember is what we should do, He grants us grace and means to do, if we are willing to do it, if we submit to Him. What we should do, He will give us the grace and the ability to do, if we will actually submit to Him and do it. There's so much here, but time will not allow. We need to continue. How about in comfort? This is the part we like. Hey, I may not can support the church in knowledge, and I can't support it in holiness, but I can support it in comfort. I can make sure the air conditioner stays running. I can make sure that the pews stay packed. I hate to break it to you, but that's not the comfort that you're pledging to. It's not the being comfortable in church. It's literally the comforting of others. we pledge to one another before the presence of the Lord that we are going to advance the church in knowledge, holiness, and comfort. It means to console, to call alongside of, to share the affections with the weak or the sick. Our Lord was a personal comforter to his associates when they were in any need on the earth. When he went away, he promised to send another comforter, the Holy Spirit, and he did send him. And he's with us even to this day. Yet, we are to be personal comfort sharers with those who are in any trouble, especially among the household of faith. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4. Mark this if you will. It ties directly to the church covenant here. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in our tribulation. And this is the part I want to make sure you get. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Literally, the scriptures teach us, God comforts us and equips us to be able to comfort others. And in our church covenant, we make a pledge to advance the church in that same capacity of comforting, coming alongside those in need. Many other verses about comfort we could share, but time won't allow. If I could simply summarize it this way, there should not be a thing such as church hurt. You've heard the term before, and people have been burned time after time, and I left church, I won't go back. The hypocrites, what this person did, what this person said, the way a church that is being obedient to the pledge that the members have made and being obedient to the commands of Christ shouldn't be operating itself in a capacity wherewith church hurt is a present concern among its people, because we ought to be walking together in love. We ought to be exercised in knowledge, holiness, and in comfort. And when there is church hurt, well, there's that opportunity for reconciliation, which we find near the end of the church covenant, but we'll reach that at a later time. We continue on with the covenant. We find that not only do we strive for the advancement in knowledge, holiness, and comfort, but also to promote its prosperity and spirituality, to sustain its worship, ordinances, discipline, and doctrines. Prosperity means the advance or gain in any good or desirable thing. And prosperity is a fascinating word, because for prosperity in knowledge or in securing material things, men will rise early and they will work late. For prosperity, people leave home, sail the seas, fly through the skies, ride the highways, work in shops, factories, and fields. For prosperity and knowledge alone, men often spend half a lifetime in school. They read long hours, study hard, develop bad eyesight. All this is done for the personal promotion of the things one loves. And now, is it less reasonable that men should vow or pledge to seek to promote the prosperity and spirituality of the Lord's church through long hours of study and laborious work? Absolutely not. Material, intellectual, and spiritual prosperity come through sacrifice, hard work, and suffering. In the like manner, church prosperity also, we find, will require these three. He who is not willing to sacrifice through hard work and even suffering for Christ will never help much in promoting prosperity in his church. We have these phrases, you know, no pain, no gain, that kind of thing. The reality is, as a member of the church, if you're not willing to do the work that it takes to continue the growth and the advancement of the church, you are not going to be much of any help to the church body. On the other hand, you will actually usually turn out to be a little bit of a hindrance, because there's just something about not only the people that aren't gonna work, but the best people who have the best ideas and the best answers and the best instructions are always the people that are seated on the sidelines.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.